Welcome to In-Depth, an in-depth look at the interesting, educational, and timely topics affecting you right here in Marion County and beyond. The one to count on for today's local news coverage is KNIA KRLS. And now with today's In-Depth, here is Dr. Bob Leonard.
What does one U.S. senator think about presumptive Republican presidential nominee Donald Trump, the Puerto Rico financial crisis, and more? Let's go in-depth with Chuck Grassley from New Hartford.
Dr. Bob, how you doing?
Good. How are you, Senator?
Pretty good. I'm just finished my speech on Puerto Rico. Went to a briefing that would be a secured briefing that I can't talk about on things in the Middle East. And I'm ready to answer your questions, I think. I should never know that I'm ready to answer your questions, but I think I am.
Well, I bet you're ready. And let's just start with what you brought up first, Puerto Rico. They're having a debt crisis, and the Senate's been working hard on that, I know. Can you tell us a little bit about what's going on there?
Well, let me tell you, first of all, I've heard from parts of the 17,000 Iowans that have some money. I don't have a figure, but some money invested in Puerto Rican bonds. And they should not have to take a haircut to bail out Puerto Rico. Now, I can tell you what I would vote for, but what I just told you probably implies to you what I'm going to do is vote no. But I've always said when this Puerto Rico has 24% of their employees on the public payrolls, they have collect about 60% of the taxes that are due. So they have a big underground economy. That's the way I would read that. I can't prove that, but they do secure about 60%. And for 10 years in a row, they've had unbalanced budgets. The legislature and the governor have to get their house in fiscal order. They've even borrowed money to roll over debt. And I suppose one thing I'm afraid of is that if you do this for Puerto Rico, bankruptcy, then Illinois might be next. So my position from probably a year ago has been for them to get their fiscal house in order, do everything they can do on their own, and if at that point bankruptcy is necessary, I would let that kick in. But I think, then another thing that this bill does that I do agree with, it does set up a financial control board. So if the legislature doesn't do what that control board says should be done, then the control board could change the amount of money being spent on other policies, I assume. But there's too much leeway. For instance, what can they cut back the public pension system? It's doubtful if you could do it. So you could have a situation where retirees in Puerto Rico wouldn't take less retirement, whereas the retired people in Iowa that have these investments in these bonds could take a haircut. So that's my reason for voting against it, mostly because they haven't done enough on their own. In fact, they haven't done anything on their own to get their own fiscal house in order. We set up a control board to make sure it happens. Why should we have to do that? But I'm willing to do that. But I think that this board can restructure debt before they get their fiscal house in order.
Well, by the time this program airs, this will all be over. But, I mean, aren't you worried about the collapse of the Puerto Rican economy? I know you're worried, but, I mean, that's a possibility, and that could have widespread implications, like
well,
you said.
Well, it's already got some implications because there's a lot of Puerto Ricans coming to the United States, and they can do that because they're citizens of the United States. This bill's going to pass, so I guess that answers your question. I just disagree that it should pass.
More in depth after this. I continued my conversation with Chuck Grassley. Let's get to some other questions I know that our listeners will want to know the answer to. And let's begin with presumptive nominee Trump. Are you still standing behind him?
Well, let me ask you this. Would you ask a Democratic senator if that senator, man or woman, is standing behind Hillary Clinton when she lies about Benghazi, when she had a private server in her basement that violated private law and secured information getting out, so it's a national security risk, and a very simple law that she shouldn't violate it is you got to file your emails with the federal records law, and it's a violation of the law if you don't. And the reason for that is something you should be interested in, because that's where you go under freedom of information if you want to make the public's business public, which journalists have a right to do. So that's I ask you a rhetorical question. I don't expect you to answer it, but I'm going to support Trump, yes, because I don't want a third term of a Obama administration.
I guess I'll try. This is the first time you've asked me a serious question, I think, and so it deserves a serious response, I think, in the sense, I mean, you're the newsmaker, you're the one that everybody wants to know, you know, what you're thinking about things, not me. But I will say that if Democrats were bailing, like Henry Paulson did the other day, the former Secretary of the Treasury under George Bush, the whole Bush family, Mitt Romney, a lot of other people are, you know, even George Will, who, you know, a lot of people admire, if people were leaving Hillary in droves like that, I would be asking them those same questions for sure.
Well, wouldn't you say that if 22% of the people that back Sanders weren't going to back Hillary, that there's something wrong with Hillary?
Well, it's pretty clear that Hillary Clinton isn't a perfect candidate, that's for sure. But when people start bailing, I assure you that I will be asking them.
Okay, well, thank you for answering my question.
Well, sure, yeah. No, she's not a perfect candidate, and she's still a candidate that a lot of people are behind. But a lot of well-respected Republicans aren't behind Trump, and they think they're tearing the party apart. George Will was, I guess that's why I'm asking the question, is George Will a respected columnist and author and television commenter, and Henry Paulson the other day? I guess it's just continuous.
You know what? Do you know what's wrong with your consideration of that? These guys are all Washington insiders. And why Trump was successful in the primary so far is because he was listening to the grassroots of America. And that's probably why he's only 2 points behind in a recent poll of Hillary. And maybe 3 weeks ago, he was half a point ahead of her in the Real Clear Politics. I don't know exactly what the Real Clear Politics is now. And I guess that's about all I can say.
But what you're speaking to suggests a serious rift in the Republican Party. I mean, if you're talking about the establishment Republicans, which some people would say you are an establishment Republican, I know that, you know, you go your own way on a lot of things. I mean, I know you well enough on that. But if the Republican establishment is out, do we even know what's in?
You know, well, you weren't probably around in 1980 when it first ran, but I was being castigated because I was a member of what was then called, quote unquote, the New Right. I haven't changed my approach to government since 1980, and I still think that I'm pretty independent, and I wasn't the appropriate Republican in 1980. And today I'm considered to be the appropriate Republican, but I haven't changed.
More in depth after this.
I continued my conversation with Chuck Grassley. Polls are suggesting that you may be in a close race now against Patty Judge. What are your thoughts on that?
Well, I'm going to leave most of the political stuff and the campaign stuff to my campaign to answer, but I'm going to assure you that I'm going to follow the practices that I've had through several successful elections of working hard for Iowans, and feel that working hard for Iowans is the best way to get reelected. And that's what I'm concentrating on.
Well, and you have been working hard. There's been so many press releases in the last few days, I can't even keep track of them from your office. I know you're very busy. Would you sort of highlight what you think the most important ones our listeners need to know about?
You mean things that that I've done recently?
Yes, things that you've been doing recently.
Today, I continue something I started maybe 20 years ago when I was chairman of the Aging Committee, now chairman of the Judiciary Committee. I held a hearing on elder justice, or you could say elder abuse. We were related, this hearing, mostly to scams that try to get money out of older people in a very unlawful way by just harassing them. But there's a lot of other elder abuse that isn't financial. Then yesterday, letters to the FBI, because ISIS has a hit list, and the FBI isn't telling everybody about the hit list. And I think Iowans, well, it's very alarming to me, first of all, that the FBI wouldn't communicate with everybody if their life was in danger. And if an Iowan was on that list, I'd want Iowans to know that. And so it's just, I got to know, is the FBI doing its job? So I wrote a letter to Comey yesterday that if you want, we can get that to you. Then tomorrow, dealing with a lot of immigration issues, but I'm sure there'll be some things that aren't immigration issues that will come up when we have our annual oversight hearing with the Secretary of Homeland Security. Jay Johnson will be here. And then earlier this week, because a year ago we passed the human trafficking bill in a very big bipartisan way, and one of the first bills that the president signed from the Republican Congress, we had an oversight hearing to see how that was working out. And I think that that we are in a position of saying it's going to work out very well, but there's still some kinks in it. Not that we have to pass new legislation, but in the administration of it. But one of the key things that we had in that bill was when it comes to human trafficking and the trafficking of young people for prostitution, we've spent too much on prosecuting teenagers and very young people for being involved in prostitution as well as the pimps. But we also now have it so that there's going to be emphasis upon prosecuting the person that's buying the sex where it should be, because a teenage young girl isn't a criminal because they've been absconded by people to go into that dastardly trade. And then we have yesterday the Democrats holding up, well, not letting us get cloture, in other words, 60 votes to move ahead on the military construction bill, and teamed up with that was the Transportation, Housing, and Urban Development appropriation bill, because there isn't enough Zika funding in the bill for them. When the president asked for $1.9 billion dollars for Zika funding, and this is 90% of that figure, and the head of the Center for Disease Control says that's enough money. In other words, what's in this bill? So why don't we just move ahead? But there's a real feeling that Democrats feel that they're getting real political mileage out of this CECA funding, and so they didn't let us get to finality on it. So the bill's under reconsideration, but I don't think that reconsideration's going to be filed until we get back on July the 6th. So, you know, that's four or five things. If there's something that I didn't mention you want me to give you an update on, I'd be glad to try my best to do it.
Well, and just finally standing firm on your decision not to consider Supreme Court nominee Garland.
Yes, and I might surmise the reason you're asking that is because we've had some four decisions, but I think that I can tell you that it's let me see if I can find some statistics here. The courts here, I'm reading now, courts have decided 61 cases since Scalia died. Of those, more than a third have been decided unanimously. By contrast, only four of the 61 cases have been decided by a 4-4 vote. That's 6.5%. So it's worth noting that the court ends up in 4-4 ties for other reasons too, and I think I probably have told you about this, but since Justice Kagan was Solicitor General, recuse herself from a lot of cases. So even when they had nine on the Supreme Court, they had some, could have some 4-4 decisions. So the answer to your question is I have not changed my view, nor have the majority of the Senate, the 52 senators. I have to say 52 because I know 52 of 54 Republicans make a majority of the Senate, and I doubt if there's any Democrats that have the same opinion I do. But there's still a majority of the Senate has not changed its mind.
Well, thank you for your time today, Senator.
Yeah, you bet. Thank you very much. Goodbye.
Bye. Thanks to Chuck Grassley for contributing to the program.
For KNIA KRLS News, this is Dr. Bob Leonard bringing you today's news and information in depth from our little corner of the universe.
In Depth is available for podcast in the radio audio media player on KNIAKRLS.com. You'll find additional information, pictures, and more, or subscribe to the In Depth podcast and never miss an episode. If you have local topics you'd like to hear on In Depth, send an email to Bob Leonard at KNIAKRLS.com. The one to count on for today's news and local information is KNIAKRLS and KNIAKRLS.com.